You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
So, looking around, what do you think of our new sanctuary colors? Wow. Almost done. A few things that aren't finished yet. A lot of work that went in yesterday. Appreciate. I want to give special thanks to Sean and Linda, who helped pick out colors, and then everybody who was here helping yesterday to paint the Martins and Stan and Jerry and the Ainsworths, Jeremy and Nancy and Michelle. Is there anybody else I missed there? That's what I said, the Martins, Daniel and Tammy. Okay, and we're not done yet. So just so you know what's coming, if you look over there on the bar, you see the little corrugated metal across the front of the bar. You can just kind of imagine that covering that little section over there, floor to ceiling, and that little section over there, floor to ceiling, and a little more paint. That's kind of the gist of it. But we're in the process. So we're still going to need some help. So please, if you can, let me know, and we'll work out some time that you could maybe come by and give us a little help touching up some paint and finishing up where we left off. This month, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Scripture teaches about the Holy Spirit. We began talking about Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit. And we said basically that Jesus taught the Holy Spirit would come. He says, it's better if I go away. The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will point you back to me. Will draw you, will teach you what I said, bring to remembrance what I said, but will draw you back to me and point to Jesus. And when the Spirit came, we looked the next week at Pentecost. And when the Spirit came at Pentecost, it did just that. It brought people to Christ. It united people together in Christ, allowing them to speak these miraculous languages so that they could understand one another and be brought together. Gave the disciples powers and abilities to do miracles, to bring healings. And last week we looked at the specific gifts of the Spirit, those gifts that are given to all believers in order to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, to help the church function properly as a body. So if you were kind of following a progression with those teachings thus far on the Spirit, it would be this. The Spirit draws us to Christ. The Spirit, working in our lives, makes us into the people of God, unites us as part of the people of God. The Spirit equips us to build up the body of Jesus in the world, the church, Jesus' body in the world. But then there's more, and that's what we're going to look at today, because the Spirit is involved in transforming our character from the inside out, completely transforming who we are at the deepest level into who God has intended us to be. And that's what we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bible, let's turn together to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 16 from Galatians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says this. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray together. Father, we pray this morning that your word would speak to us. It would not be just words on a page, but that it would take on flesh in this community and would take on life as it comes to fruition in our life. Help us this morning to understand the fruit that you want to bear in us. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So obviously Paul is pointing, making this illustration of these two tensions. This flesh and spirit is the way he words it. It's almost as if Paul sees this as some sort of cosmic battle that's constantly going on within each one of us, this battle between flesh and spirit. But it would be easy for us to read that and to say, okay, well, Paul's talking about the flesh, so that he must be talking about the physical world, the tangible, the mortal, this world, and then spirit, that invisible, immortal, otherworldly thing, and that there's a tension between that. And if we were to read it that way, then we could easily read this. We could say, well, flesh is bad. Therefore, this world is bad. It's going to hell in a handbasket. It's all bad. And spirit is good. Heaven is good. And one day I'll escape this world and go to there, to that other place. That's not what Paul's saying. That's not what Paul is saying. Just to be clear. What Paul's doing here is he's trying to use a metaphor. He's trying to paint a word picture. He's trying to help us to understand this reality of these two realities that are at battle, but this, to understand that, not so much that it's the material or the physical versus the immaterial or this world versus the world to come. What he's saying is that there's this way of life that's driven by our sin. This way of life that's driven by our sinful desires, and it's a way of life that says, you know, I gotta have it, and I gotta have it now. The instant gratification. It's driven by greed, it's driven by lust, it's driven by violence, it's driven by rivalries and competition, it's driven by doing what just feels right at the moment. It's this way of life that's driven by our sin. And Paul calls this life in the flesh. Now, in contrast, Paul paints this other picture. He says there's this life in the Spirit, this life that will bear a certain kind of fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says this is life in the Spirit that brings this fruit. It's interesting that when you look throughout Scripture from beginning to end, it has a whole lot to say about being fruitful. About being fruitful. But let me pause just for a moment and ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what God's will for your life is? Have you ever just said, God, what is your will for me? What do you want? People ask me this all the time. They're saying, Stephen, I'm just trying to figure out what God's will for my life is. So if I could tell you this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what God's will for your life is, would you kind of like everybody clue in and say, yeah, please, I want to know. We'd all listen really closely, right? I think I can do that. Because I think Scripture is pretty clear that God's will for us is to be fruitful. Genesis chapter 1, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. In the book of Psalms, it says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. The Lord is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So ask whatever you ask, ask the Father in my name and he will give it to you. In the book of Romans, Paul says, likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. This is God's desire for our lives, that we be fruitful, that our life bear fruit. But what does that look like? Well, one simple answer is this. To bear fruit looks like love. Like love. Loving one another. The fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists in this passage in Galatians, it could be listed this way. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is what it looks like. Joy, Have you ever seen someone who just loved people radically? I mean, just absolutely loved people all the time. It was obvious that a joy is a natural overflow of a life that is filled with love. He says, this is what love looks like, peace. Someone with peace. Love is not pushy and demanding. If we rest in love, what do we have to worry about? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to be anxious about? If we can rest in God's supernatural love, peace is the natural overflow of being immersed in that love. Patience. When someone loves, they don't demand of one another. They don't insist on their own way. They don't insist on it now. They say, I'm willing to wait. Because patience is the natural overflow of a relationship that's defined by love. What does love look like? It looks like kindness, Paul's saying. Because if we speak to one another in love, we don't speak harshly. We speak words that lift each other up, that encourage one another. Because kindness is the natural character of loving speech and action. What does love look like? It looks like goodness. Because love does not rejoice in evil. It doesn't rejoice in violence. It doesn't rejoice in harm. It does what is good. Because goodness is a natural overflow of a life of love. What does love look like? It looks like faithfulness. Because love is committed to one another. It's committed to the promises that it's made. When one loves, one is faithful. Because faithful is the natural overflow of a relationship of love. What does love look like? It looks like gentleness. Because love isn't harsh and love isn't brash and love doesn't hurt one another, but it treats each other with respect and with care. Because gentleness is the natural overflow of actions that are animated by love. Love looks like self-control. Because to act in love is to control our own desires, to focus on others, to be willing to delay gratification, to say, I can wait. I can put that off a little while, because self-control is the natural overflow of a life ruled by love. Because a fruitful life is a love-filled life. We didn't have time to look at it last week, but when we looked at the passage on spiritual gifts, it says essentially the same thing. It goes through this whole passage that Paul talks to the Corinthians about all these gifts. And he gives his list. He said, these are the gifts. And here's, first there's the apostles, and then there's prophets, and there's teachers. And they're all, you know, all these gifts are given. He says, but let me show you a more excellent way. And that's where we stopped. But if we would have kept reading, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. And then he goes on to say, love is faithful. He goes on to read 1 Corinthians 13. But this shouldn't surprise us, because when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me make a quick observation this morning about fruit. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we understand love as this other extended joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. An observation about fruit. Have you ever seen a fruit tree worry about what kind of fruit it's going to produce? Have you ever seen an apple tree say, if I just try hard enough, I think I could squeeze a pear out of here? I mean, have you ever seen an orange tree produce a watermelon? Or a lemon tree produce bananas? It doesn't happen, right? No. Fruit trees don't worry about what kind of fruit they're producing. It produces the kind of fruit based on what kind of tree it is. Jesus knew this. In Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, says you will recognize a person by his or her fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. That's what Jesus said. For those of us who are born by the Spirit, for those of us who have put our faith in Christ and said, you know, I want to live this Jesus way of living. And Jesus says, well, if you do that, I'm sending my Spirit to live in you, to transform you from the inside out, that the old person is gone, the new person, this new life. You are, the scripture talks about it as being reborn. If that is you, then the natural fruit of that is the fruit of the Spirit that we read about today. The natural fruit. We don't have to work. It's not, do you work hard enough? Do you think hard enough? Do you try hard enough? The apple tree doesn't have to try. If it's a healthy apple tree, it produces fruit. That's what it does. In the same way, if we are healthy, if we are seeking after Christ, if we are living in the Spirit, the natural overflow of that is for fruit to come in our lives, for this fruit of the Spirit. All we have to do is allow the Spirit to do the work that the Spirit desires to do, to make us into a people of love, people of joy, and so on. I'm going to ask you if you can help me do something this morning. It'll be a little bit different if you're willing. Are we willing to try something a little different this morning?
Sure.
Everybody, close your Bibles, put it down beside you. I need everybody to stand up. Kind of scoot towards the middle. It'll help. It'll make this a little easier. You guys come up this way. We're going to try something a little different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull these and stretch them out. Those should reach down that way to Ed and Mary. Send some down. You might have to have a partner with some of these, but make sure everybody's got a hand connecting. Anybody wants to help me on that side, you can. This doesn't have to be me doing this. Send one back there. Jennifer, you guys get in here too. Come on, this is everybody. We got plenty. All right, you guys made this complicated. What happened over here? I'm just kidding. There's another one. We're weaving. We're knitting a little scarf here on this side. Everybody got your hand on one? Even if you're sharing. Everybody connected? I'm going to hold with you. Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says this. He says, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The whole call of the gospel is for us to stay connected to the vine, the true vine, Christ, the one and the only. It's only through him that we are able to receive our nourishment through Christ, that we are connected to one another through Christ. We are fruitful to the extent that we stay connected to the vine. Anybody whose garden knows that once you cut off a branch, it ceases to be fruitful. For the moment we sever our relationship, we forget about our relationship, the minute that we neglect that relationship with Christ, our fruit suffers. We have to stay connected to him, allowing Christ's love to flow through us, allowing Christ to form us and shape our lives into this fruit-filled life that the Spirit talks about, allowing Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven, is what Scripture talks about, to nourish us. So as we stand here this morning, as we stand just by these simple threads, connected to Christ the vine, connected to the cross, we stand here, and there's more that are connected than just what we see with our eyes, though. There are those in this community that aren't here today, but they're still connected through this together. There's our brothers and sisters in La Baita, and we're connected with them to this same vine, that we bear the same kind of fruit because our nourishment comes from the same place. All the churches around the world that are seeking to be Christ's hands and feet, we are connected to them. And just as Jesus gathered his disciples at the Last Supper, he wanted them to understand this. He wanted them. So he took this bread, the fruit, the bread, the fruit of the harvest, the grain that had grown. He took it and he broke it and he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Receive nourishment from me so that you can be fruitful." So this morning as we gather, let's stay connected to the cross. But I'm going to pass these around and ask you to serve one another, that we might be reminded that our nourishment comes from Christ, from him alone. And through that nourishment, we will be fruitful. Father, we pray that you would take these, the gifts of the harvest from your fields, that you would bless them, that they would be a reminder to us of Jesus Christ, of his body broken. May he, the bread of heaven, nourish us today and make us fruitful. For we pray this in Christ's name.